One of the first things I looked at today was to see how the week has progressed as far as the trends from a national standpoint, you know, who the general public has in both of these matchups. The San Francisco-Green Bay game is narrowing. You know, San Francisco now only 57% of the general public have the 49ers given the 7.5. And this is kind of unusual in the fact if you go back the earlier this year when these two teams met, and now this is certainly a different Green Bay Packers team, obviously, a team that's red hot. Looks like they've made some necessary adjustments in their six straight wins. But if you recall, that was a game that, you know, the 49ers won 37-8. It seems like the general public getting a better feel that the Packers can make a better showing this time. And then as far as Tennessee, Kansas City, almost 67%. 66% compared to 34 taking Kansas City, given the Titans the 7.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, you look at the first game, you know, Green Bay at San Francisco. You know, a lot of people ask, you know, what's changed, right? And I think you have to kind of look inside the game. You know, Aaron Rodgers went, well, 1-for-15, I think, on third down. I mean, it's just a disaster, right? And San Francisco could do that. I mean, they're that good of a team. However, you have to think that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as a whole are going to play better. At least you would hope. And then, yeah, I mean, you look at the Titans and Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs are going to get all the love. And that's kind of how it's been throughout the playoffs. That, you know, really from a national perspective, everybody's kind of waiting for, you know, when does this run, this magical run for Tennessee, slow down? But what they're not paying attention to is that, you know, what Tennessee is doing, how they're winning, is exactly the reason why. It's because it travels. Defense and running the ball travels, and it plays in any weather, any stadium whatsoever. So I can't wait to get them going, man. I can't wait for Sunday.
I kind of agree with the general public on the over underline for both of these. 72% taking the over 46.5 in the Packers 49ers game. And you look at it from the other perspective. I have the under as far as in the Titans. I have the under 53 with regards to the Chiefs and the Titans. I think that, you know, one of those defenses is going to make enough plays where it keeps under the number. And if you look at the general public, it's almost 50-50, 54% going with the over 53, 46 going with the under.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that, especially on the second one, right? So Titans and Chiefs, I mean, the weather's going to be cold. You know, I don't think there's going to be rain in the forecast or anything, but it's just going to be a really cold game that could affect passing, you know, on both sides. And you look at really how the Titans have gotten here. You know, they've gone through two offenses where the Patriots and Ravens, you know, didn't score over 13 points, you know, in either of them. And then, you know, Kansas City, I mean, yeah, we saw what they could do, you know, against Houston. But I think it's just going to be a different style game, and especially if both teams are really moving the ball on the ground. You know, the under is certainly the play. I'm with you on Green Bay at San Francisco as well. And you look at what the total has been. Yesterday, the total was sitting at 45. Now we're at 46.5. It continues to go up. You know, obviously this year, unders have been the play, and they have been for the most part throughout the playoffs as well. But, you know, again, if I've got Aaron Rodgers out there, and especially the motivation that he has, not only to kind of avenge that loss, but you go back to all the way to the draft and that situation that he had, and normally that wouldn't be a big deal. However, you could tell this week it was a big deal. To him, I think that game's going to be fireworks all day.
Yeah, Alan, Aaron Rodgers sure does seem like that kind of guy that would hold that chip on his shoulder. When you look at the Niners, did they beat Minnesota in spite of Jimmy Garoppolo? And is he good enough to get past to win a playoff game and go to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, we're going to find that out. I mean, it's only a second playoff game, and you're right. You know, you saw what San Francisco did to Minnesota. They really didn't have to use him. Now, it's kind of the same situation that we're seeing here in Tennessee, where they just really didn't need him, right? Like, it's not, you know, anything, you know, negative on Garoppolo's side. They just ran the ball, played defense, and just really kind of mitigated their risk. They didn't have to throw. But, you know, you look at, you know, their playoff history, you know, these two quarterbacks, you know, like we said, as Garoppolo, you know, it's only his second game. So does an NFC championship, you know, does it get to him? You look at Aaron Rodgers, I think this is what? It's going to be his 18th. Postseason game. I think it's going to be his fifth NFC championship, something around there. I mean, he's been through this. The guy's battle-tested. He's not afraid to go on the road. I'm really interested to see how these two quarterbacks, and how all four quarterbacks, you know, go about it. Aaron Rodgers is the only one of the four starting quarterbacks left that started in a Super Bowl, right? So, you know, I just can't wait to see how all four go about it on Sunday.
And then staying out west, this is a coaching matchup between Matt LaFleur, who was a former assistant for Kyle Shanahan. Can you kind of handicap that and who you think may have the advantage? I mean, I think obviously we'd think Shanahan does, but what does LaFleur bring to the table for Green Bay?
Yeah, you know, I think you're going to see two guys. Obviously, they kind of come from the same system, the same tendencies. Now, what they do is different in how they go about it. Their personnel, obviously, is much different. But you got two guys who know each other extensively, who have worked together extensively for their NFL careers. So I like that aspect of the chess match, that they really do understand, you know, where the other one is coming from. And you look at it in terms of, you know, how they zig when the other thinks they're going to zag, counter punches, things like that. It's really going to be an exciting game. Now, the hard part for LaFleur is that, I mean, San Francisco, you know, top to bottom, they might be the most talented team. I mean, Kansas City is certainly there, you know, the last four remaining. But San Francisco, what's tough about kind of chess matching them is that they just play physical football. I mean, they get after you defensively at all 11 positions. I mean, I know we're going to look and see their defensive line and Bosa and them get after it. But, I mean, their corners are physical. Their safeties are physical. They play aggressive football. So you can have the best chess match, you know, the best game plan built. But, you know, when you're getting smacked in the mouth, it kind of changes that. So I don't know if, you know, one has a significant lead over the other. San Francisco just has a much better roster of players.
Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline joins us. You know, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and I saw a couple of interesting stats out of the Green Bay Packers notes leading into this game and really stood out for me. You look at the all-time greats as far as in postseason and looking what they do. And, you know, we mentioned the fact that Aaron Rodgers may have had one of his worst games. Forget about, you know, just it may have been one of his worst games in his career. It was that bad as far as the first go-around against this 49ers team. But in postseason, number one on the list as far as passers with 110 or better passer rating, Tom Brady, top of the list. In 41 starts, he's had 8. Number two on the list in only 17 starts, I mean, we're talking about ahead of Joe Montana even. Aaron Rodgers in 17 starts, 7 of them 110-plus passer rating. That is big if you're talking about a bounce-back performance compared to what happened in that first go-around.
Yep, it really is. And that's why, you know, you bettors that are looking at this, you know, from a 7.5 point perspective, it's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers because what he's done in the playoffs is noted, you know, and it's not, you know, just some, you know, magical run that he's had. This guy's done it over and over and over. And you look, I think he has 38 touchdown passes in those 17 postseason games. It's the fifth most in NFL history. I mean, he shines, man. Like when the lights are bright, there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers is one of the most popular players in the league, because he turns it on. You know, we'll see if that run game travels with him, Aaron Jones. But again, you know, that's the beautiful part, you know, about that chess match between the two guys, is that San Francisco has the better roster top to bottom. But Matt LaFleur, man, he's got the Joker in the deck, right? Like Aaron Rodgers can do things that Jimmy Garoppolo can't. He can do things that almost any quarterback in the NFL can't. And they're going to get creative. You know, using short passing as a run game. It's really, really going to be fun. I think we're going to have two just really exciting games, and I'm glad that one, Packers at 49ers, is the night game. It could be the best.
You know, with regards to play calling, you know, we saw how bad the first go around with the Packers, what they did, or is better to say, what they did not do against San Francisco. 1 of 15, third down conversions. We saw a similar issue with Minnesota last week. To give yourself a better opportunity to keep drives alive, especially on third down, you have to be unpredictable as far as first and second down. And that's one of the keys. And maybe it's a chance for the head coach and Matt LaFleur to learn from that first go around.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you completely. You know, and you have to keep, you know, Robert Saleh and that 49ers defense on their toes. And who, what better of a quarterback to do it than Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, that guy could just make throws that most quarterbacks can't. And, you know, where San Francisco can really get you is, you know, they're efficient in terms of their offense, to where they can score, you know, strike quickly if they need to, but they normally are very methodical and can just drive you down and just wear you out on the ground. So you can look up and find yourself down 14-3, 17-3, something like that. And that's where Green Bay, they just can't fall into that, because as good as Aaron Rodgers is, once you let once you kind of let San Francisco's defense, you take the chains off and let them play as aggressive as they want, they're going to get after you. They're going to get after Aaron. They're going to get after receivers. So Green Bay really has to they've got to play smart. They've got to play intelligent. They can't turn the ball over. They've got to put up touchdowns. And if they could do that, you find yourself in a fourth quarter, I would take Aaron Rodgers over Jimmy Garoppolo almost every time.
Hey, Alan, going to the AFC now up in Kansas City. First, we had the Ravens talk about how it didn't seem like the Patriots were interested in tackling Derrick Henry, and then they went out there and did that even did an even bigger display against the Ravens defense and won. What do you think the mentality is in Kansas City with Derrick Henry and this run game coming up there? And why would they not be able to repeat it? I mean, it just looks like something that we're getting to the mano-a-mano thing, you know, that comes out in playoffs and comes out in the NFL. It's a man's league. It's a tough game out there. But when you get down to the basic point of it, like what goes into trying to stop Derrick Henry from the Kansas City perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough task for him, right? You look at their defense, I think they're right, 28th in terms of the rush this year. Really, the way to get to Derrick Henry is you have to get him behind the line of scrimmage. You have to kind of trip those feet up in his first one, two, three steps. Because if you don't, the guy is just – he's just a rolling rock of 250 pounds of momentum, right? Like, this guy is just going to go forward. He's going to get 4, 5, 6 yards carry. But if you can get behind the line of scrimmage and kind of trip that up, that's really where you can kind of stop that. And we've seen it, right? We've seen it all year, especially early in the season. So they're going to have to get penetration on the Titans' offensive line. They're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to move around to do so. So that's really where I think, Ryan Tannehill and this offense and guys like A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith, that's really where they can take advantage of a Chiefs secondary that might be left on an island, But the hard part is you've got someone like Tyrann Mathieu back there who is just so incredible. He plays and covers so much of the field. You got to keep an eye on him. But, that's going to be the beautiful part of what the Titans offense is going to have to do. And if they can do that and strike and keep them, on their on their toes all over, the Titans can score as many points as they want.
Yeah, and also when you look at can you talk about the job the offensive line has done? Because it's been maligned on and off through the last couple of years here, and you got a couple of guys that have been on that line for a while. Have they improved that much, or is it just the whole team just getting a lift from the gift that is Derrick Henry?
Well, they've certainly improved, right, from what we've seen. And, I think a lot of it had to do with, Taylor, his suspension and coming back. You've seen that he's essentially gotten better all year. But you look at what offensive lines want to do. They want to run block way more than pass block, right? I mean, you've got a guy like Derrick Henry, who can keep that momentum and keep it moving forward. That's really where this offensive line shines. And, we haven't heard, Taylor Lewan or Roger Saffold. We haven't heard Roger Saffold's name. 7 weeks, right? Like he's been playing fantastic football, and I think a big part of it also is the lack of penalties. That hasn't been a topic of discussion really since, week 6, week 7, somewhere around there. We really haven't heard too terribly much about it. They've just been incredibly efficient. They keep Ryan Tannehill up, and they keep it moving forward for Derrick Henry. So if they can play like they have, the Chiefs are very good, but if that offense for the Titans is moving, and it's moving forward, and they're scoring touchdowns as they have been, which has been incredible. They're just almost impossible to beat.
One of the ways that Kansas City can slow down what Derrick Henry and the Titans are trying to do on offense is to do something similar. Remember, this was the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes' first showing after, 4 weeks out with a dislocated knee. But one of the things, if you go back to that game, although the Titans were able to prevail in that contest 35-32, back when these two teams met as far as in regular season back on November 10th, was the fact not once, not twice, not three, not four times, the number of drives that Kansas City had that were 9 plays or more. I mean, they started the game with a 12-play drive that led to a touchdown, and then you continued on throughout the game where Kansas City had numerous drives of 9, 10-plus kind of play drives. If they're able to keep their defense rested, that's one of the ways, because you always talk about the ways that Derrick Henry can be successful against an opposing team's defense is he wears them down. Well, one of the ways to stop that is to have these kind of drives where you're not necessarily you're scoring, but you're not necessarily scoring fast. You're being able to prolong you know, the time your offense is out there keeps your defense rested as well.
Yep, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting to look at it from that perspective of, you know, them, you know, sustaining long drives. And I think the big part of that is going to be, if they do, do they score touchdowns? So they put up 7 on it, you know, instead of 3. So I think, obviously, that's where the Titans defense, which has been incredible the last 2 weeks, and nobody nationally really is talking about it, of what they've, you know, accomplished, only allowing 12 and 13 points respectively in each game. And I think that's really where the defense can set the tone and really put it back on Kansas City. If they can, you know, create some turnovers, if they can get, you know, some three and outs, you know, on the Kansas City defense. And like you said, their defense, you know, or on their offense, and Kansas City's defense doesn't have a chance, you know, really to rest, and Derrick Henry can really start pounding, you know, on them and sustain their own drives, right? Like, that's really where, you know, kind of that line is going to be. It's going to be a fun chess match for sure. And if Tennessee can get, you know, an interception or a fumble or, you know, anything like that and kind of disrupt the flow of what Kansas City wants to do, the pressure is all on the Chiefs. And the longer that this game goes and the tighter that it is, you look at that fourth quarter, the pressure will be all felt by Kansas City and that crowd.
I agree. I concur with that 100%. Now, when you compare the skill guys for Kansas City to what they faced against Baltimore and New England, how much better are these guys? I mean, I look at some of the stats. Like, I saw that there were 13 plays in the NFL last year for the Chiefs where guys got going 20 miles per hour or faster. That's just incredible. And that that the 3-plus yards of separation with pass receivers for Mahomes and his guys led the NFL. How much better is the, because, I mean, you know, in this town, we can be, everybody's on the bandwagon. Nobody sees a way they can lose the game because you can't stop Derrick Henry. But Kansas City does have a lot of good skill guys. How much better are they than the guys that the Titans just beat?
They're pretty good. And the problem is this, is that not only are they good on their own, they've got one of the most incredible quarterbacks at any point in the game feeding the ball to him. Like, you know, he gets that kind of gunslinger mentality, but he's not. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is intelligent. He's careful with the football. He's accurate. And that's really what makes it so difficult when you've got, you know, not only somebody like Tyreek Hill, but look, they've got arguably, you know, one of the best tight ends in the league in Travis Kelce. And then you've got Mecole Hardman, who is just lightning fast. And it's just impossible, you know, really to keep all of them in check, per se, right? Like, that's how they win. And Mahomes can just deliver the ball in any, you know, seemingly window that he wants to at any time. So, you know, the Titans secondary is going to be put on an island at times, but they're going to need some help back there too, because those guys are just incredible. Now, the interesting part, though, is this, is if you look at Tyreek Hill, I think in week, 11 or 12, he had 2 touchdowns against Denver. The last 6 games, I don't think he has a touchdown besides the Denver game. So he hasn't necessarily been the Tyreek Hill show. However, that guy can get it going at any moment. So you've got to keep him in check. It's really going to be a tough ask for the Titans defense, because those guys are going to be moving all over the field.
And there's also a fast wide receiver by the name of Mecole Hardman, too, for the Chiefs. And we saw what he was able to do. I mean, we go back, everybody forgets. I mean, everybody remembers, you know, blocking the field goal to preserve the win. I mean, here's a Chiefs team that had the 2-point lead going into the fourth quarter, had a 9-point lead with less than 7 minutes to go. 9-point lead with less than 7 minutes to go, and they get outscored 14-3. Do you see that happening on Sunday? No, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, you know, the Titans are just going to have to do it that much better over those first 3 quarters to put themselves. We saw what the Chiefs can do when they're playing from behind. We saw it, and it took, 11 minutes to score 28 points in that second quarter against the Texans. Whatever the Titans did that first go around, they have to do it that much better early in this ballgame.
Yep, yeah, I'm totally with you. First half points have been really, you know, the catalyst for this team throughout the playoffs in New England and Baltimore. And this is going to be one of those games where, you know, we look and see what they've done in the red zone. You know, I think they've scored on 12 straight trips. They've got to continue to score touchdowns, and they've got to put points up, and they've got to continue to do it. And if they can, you know, not only Kansas City, they can run through anybody, right? Like, that's what it's all about. But you're right. I mean, they're going to have to do it because, again, you know, that's just not a team that you want to fall behind. You don't want to – the Titans just – you know, we've seen what they've done, which has been good in the second half of games in terms of Ryan Tannehill. But, you know, in an elimination game where it's probably going to be 20 degrees, 24 degrees, somewhere around there, it's going to be cold. You just want to eliminate all those quote-unquote have-tos. When you get there, if they can get in the first half, get some points, get some momentum going, and let Derrick Henry do what Derrick Henry does, that's their key to success.